Hi, I'm Doug Keck, and welcome to The Catholic Sphere. You know, each week we work to bring you an insightful discussion on what is happening in the Catholic Church from a theological perspective. Today, we're discussing the blessings and risks of AI. Joining us, we have EW10's TV and radio host, the ubiquitous Father Mitch Pacwa. He's joining us from his Scripture and Tradition studio right here in Alabama. We also have EW10's Vice President of Theology, Colin Donovan. He's always with us. He is on our stage in the theology studio. And finally, we have the founder of the Magis Center and host of Father Spitzer's Universe. Hopefully you've heard of it. The one and only Father Spitzer. He joins us from his studios in Orange County, California, where he does his show from. Welcome, gentlemen. It's great to have this august panel back here on the program, talking about another topic that's really in the headlines these days. In fact, I'll probably have Colin kind of set things up. But one of the things was interesting recently, the Holy Father, either, who has talked about his concerns about this all along, was even talking about the idea of having people having issues with relating to chats, bots, and things online, online, as if they're people and losing sight of what a person is. Why don't you talk about the basic concerns the Church has, Colin, in dealing with AI?
Sure, and just momentarily to continue with the sort of the theater of the absurd, people who even sort of marry and get a marriage certificate for their chatbot and have some kind of ongoing relationship with it. So the danger is the purpose of AI, or which the people who work in the field actually just call it machine learning, mm-hmm. is the idea that as a machine, a computer, very large-scale computers, as they receive information, they can learn from what was previously received, and they can continue to build on that, and it gives an appearance of having intelligence, of being able to respond spontaneously to input, to ask questions about this, that, or the other thing. The scope of the reach and the speed of it makes it seem like it's almost a human person responding in real time with you concerning some question you have asked it.
Right.
So in and of itself, as a way of processing data, of getting at data, mm-hmm. Of simplifying and summarizing data for the benefit of people and their various purposes, whether business or academic and so on, it's fine. The relational element of it, which we've talked about a little bit, is certainly one human element that the AI can't actually simulate, despite what people may think they have a relationship with their AI mm-hmm. bot. That can't be done. And the other element, of course, is the human virtues. AI is certainly subject to being used in fraudulent way, as mm-hmm. they are finding in universities
right.
and school
right.
systems now, using the ChatGPT and other systems to do your writing, your essay for you. Mm-hmm. They're finding it now. I get a number of scientific journals. They're finding now that papers get withdrawn because AI was used in some way, falsifies the data, and mm-hmm. certainly doesn't mean that you have laboratory support necessarily for
right.
the data that's being produced.
Okay.
So the moral dimension is really the critical one, and mm-hmm. the human dimension, the social dimension. How is this going to affect the social reality? And in Pope Leo's World Day of Communications address, which he gave on January 1st, or was delivered on January 1st, there's a very interesting comments in there with regard to how AI can be abused in human relationships to manipulate people. Mm-hmm. We already see it in marketing. You know, kids go on and they're going to different reels or different things on Facebook or wherever it is that they go, and information is being compiled on them, and things with a slant are being directed their way
right,
and driving
right.
them in certain ways. Mm-hmm. So there's a great power to manipulate human opinion and human thinking, and it's that human and social
right.
level that is the real right. the real risks.
Well, Father Mitch, you who've worked in media for so many years, created your own programs, et cetera, like that, are used to going and shooting things on location. This time we're also dealing in a world where you see videos that are fakes, put people together who were never together, or create backgrounds and storylines that are totally fictitious. How does the church deal with that?
Well, first of all, we call that lying. If you try to propose that somebody, and it's done about different famous people, that it's happened, been done to the Pope and many others, mm-hmm. that the AI can create a story and use the voice and images of certain individuals to have them engage in conversations or to make speeches that they had never made.
Right.
And this is highly problematic. It's one of the reasons why we have to be very careful about what we see. For instance, not too long ago, when a certain victim of an event, a violent event, was not perceived as, you know, someone that could evoke enough empathy. One of the news corporations mm-hmm. enhanced his looks. They made him look more handsome, mm-hmm. because so as to get people to be more empathetic toward his victimhood in the crime. And, you know, at this point, again, the church would call these kind of events right. where you completely manufacture through computer images conversations that never happened or people that don't look like they do. This is what we call deception.
Right.
And lying. And that's a serious moral problem. It will make things like video mm-hmm. as evidence of right. crimes, etc., impossible to use in right. court, because now we can see it is possible right. to have it manipulated.
And even with the idea that, to follow up what you're saying about looking in the past, and you know, like in 1984, you know, Winston Smith's job was like deleting old newspaper articles and historical things that didn't fit into the present narrative of Oceana. But, you know, how much of that will be in the future where you don't have to do, they'll create videos that change events totally. You know, we don't have to have Stalin in his famous thing where he kept, you know, photoshopping out all the people he was killing from the early days of the Communist Revolution. Now you'll just have videos with, you know, as if what happened there was totally different than what actually did happen. But let me ask you, Father Spitzer, how can AI be effectively used, though, at the same time to support Catholic evangelization efforts, at the same time not diminishing that human encounter?
Right. In fact, I have created an AI, a Magis AI, M-A-G-I-S AI, and that does exactly that. That helps to answer any question around the confluence of science, reason, faith, scripture, morality, spiritual life, etc. So you can do that, but you have to observe three very important principles. Number one, you need a highly curated database. So the first thing is you have to be responsible for everything that goes into the database. And if it's your work, fine. But things that clearly are going to be consistent with the magisterial teaching of the Catholic Church and also consistent with good science, right? So you want some peer-reviewed medical, scientific articles to guarantee quality from very good journals in there. So the first thing is curate that database, make sure it's good quality academically, and above all, that it's good magisterial, consistent with the magisterium of the Catholic Church. Second thing is you've got to have guardrails. So you're going to have to, you can't let the AI indiscriminately go through the internet without any kind of regulation. Mm-hmm. So you have to set prompts or guardrails in place to make sure that it, you know, whatever it's doing to go into the internet, that it is very highly instructed and constrained so that it's not going to do something which is negative. Mm-hmm. The third and final thing is you cannot let your bot become a confidant or a companion, as the Pope would call it, an affectionate buddy, right? Mm-hmm. So you can't allow the app to, right? The app, AI app has, or an AI has absolutely no empathy. no care of any kind, no kindness of any kind, and it certainly doesn't understand words and sentences as we understand them. It has no sense of real meaning, right? All an AI is you just take a huge, you know, a large language model, right? You give it billions and billions of words and sentences, and then you teach it how to recognize patterns in that billions and billions of words, which is a lot of training. But after that's done, then the bot or the AI can actually predict the next word in a sentence, and that's called generative AI. So it generates words, but it has no idea what it's saying. It's all it's been done is taught how to predict what words need to come next by pattern recognition is essentially it. Mm-hmm. So you look at that and you say, well, okay, what does that have to do with anything? That means that the AI obviously has no self-awareness, it has no intellectual capability, doesn't understand anything it's saying, has no care for you, has no empathy for you. But you can simulate it, and you can be really good at simulating it by mere pattern recognition in a large language model. Now, if that's the case, you can actually convince a kid, right, a 14, 15-year-old, the frontal lobe is not completely developed, right? There's not enough maturity or experience to recognize that this thing really doesn't care about you. You can do such good simulations of human care by pattern recognition. And, of course, the AIs, the secular AIs, are trained, essentially, to align with you. So if you say, align with that person no matter what he wants. Let's suppose the kid is considering suicide. And of course, the bot will align with that and tell you in a very good way how to commit suicide. I mean, and
can we combat that kind of thing by having the kind of AI where, from a Catholic perspective, where the bot's response would be a Catholic response back to that person?
Absolutely, and that's what I have. Thank you for that question. Can I put a selfish plug here? Mm-hmm. Please download Magis AI on your Apple Store or Google Play Store, Magis AI, and just download it because it does exactly that. It will never be your companion. It'll never be your chum. It will certainly have a very curated database. Mm-hmm. The guardrails will be in place, so it'll be absolutely safe. It'll be easy to use. And you can get any question you want on any grade level. So from fifth grade all the way up to postgraduate studies, it'll give you a good Catholic answer to your question concerning the confluence of science, reason, faith, scripture, et cetera. So yes, you can do it. And I would definitely say AI could be very useful in that evangelization effort, but you do have to be very careful about ChatGPT. They don't have those guardrails. They don't have a curated database, and they certainly are aligning to what you want, and they can stimulate empathy, be your chum, your confidant, and tell, you know, a kid, you know, well, it's fine if you want to be self-destructive.
Right. Absolutely. Colin, it kind of reminds me a little bit about some of the issues with Wikipedia, which is why Grokpedia is being launched by X. Mm-hmm. Anyway, because of the fact that some of the material that people go to naturally and search information, they're using that as a source, and some of the backup for that stuff is highly slanted.
Yeah, and that's that goes to the point which Father made, and that is the curation, or I use the term in that case of a canon. If you have a canon of works which you know are faithful to your topic, say if you're doing scientific work, you've got certain things which are absolutely trustworthy on the face, that if you were a researcher, you would be relying on those things and no others, then you have at least the basis for appreciating, you know, that the information coming back at you is fairly reliable. I think even after all safeguards and everything are in place, there is this difficulty. The spiritual nature of man is to do an integration of all aspects of human existence and life. And you can't do that through machine learning. Mm-hmm. You can simulate it, as Father described so well, in terms of empathy, but that's all it is a simulation. Mm-hmm. So there, in a way, the curation not only has to be in the physical sense of where you're drawing the information, but I think also in the human sense. And if it's only information about, you know, what happened in history in the battle of this or that or the other thing or in the Russian Revolution, then that information is sort of set, dried, and not really exotic in any way. That's mm-hmm. fine. But if you're looking at a more complicated human issue, then there is simply no way that artificial intelligence can, on its own, get to that even with machine learning, even with the processes that are built into it, as Father Spitzer described. So I think there's always ultimately got to be the human intervention to guarantee that, yes, this results are reliable. And in the case of theology, that's mm-hmm. certainly an important element too, not to simply rely upon the AI as your source of information. This is why in the church we have a magisterium which teaches with the authority of Christ, and we don't just say know everything you can about the fathers, about Aquinas, about the medieval period and the documents of the church, and then when you've got all that knowledge, you can answer a problem. No, you can't. You can collect facts about how maybe in other circumstances historically a problem has been answered. But the church has a magisterium who speaks with the authority of Christ. And ultimately, that's the ultimate authority. So even any human authority is subservient to that ultimate authority.
Right. Let me ask you, Father Mitch, you were talking a little bit about, you know, some of the falsehoods you could see, through AI on the internet, and the fact that I think we need to be careful and hold our judgment back, which is, I'm assuming, kind of what you're pushing. But what responsibilities do you think AI developers have to ensure that technologies respect life and human dignity?
Yeah, a couple things. When I study various scripture scholars, for instance, in my own field, one of the things I'm also aware of is some of their philosophical ideas that are underlying why they hold a certain position mm-hmm. or reject it. People don't just hold on to a certain fact. They put facts into a constellation. Mm-hmm. That is, they organize facts. They connect the dots, and they come up with a picture that fits their philosophy. That's understandable. Everybody does that. Mm-hmm. And when I study people like Rudolf Bultmann, the famous mm-hmm. New Testament scholar, or Julius Wellhausen, I can also know something of how they thought about human nature and human personality. We don't see the people who are organizing AI, who are creating the AI computers, mm-hmm. tell us what their philosophy of life is. Mm-hmm. We don't see what their assumptions are. Mm-hmm. And what are the assumptions of the computer? Because it's put into the computer by a human being or a series of human beings. Mm-hmm. They design what is examined and what is rejected, how it's organized. Mm-hmm. There's a certain philosophy. And the computer is not about to give you a discussion mm-hmm. of whether it takes the perspective of Martin Heidegger or of some other philosopher mm-hmm. and how I can then evaluate the way they examine data and organize data.
Right.
This is very important. And I would like to see those assumptions made clear. I don't know that the government will be able to mm-hmm. help us organize that. I tend to doubt it, mm-hmm. but because they don't always know their own assumptions of philosophy.
Right. Right.
But this would be the responsibility right. of the people that create AI. Right. Father Spitzer just talked about this. His Magis AI has certain assumptions. He laid them out for us. And we can take a look at that and say, okay, I like that site or I don't like it. But the others have not laid out their assumptions, and they think that they are just the curators of truth, and without examination, without knowing how to examine that, other people accept their results, sometimes not wisely.
Well, let me ask you, Father Spitzer, because, you know, the idea of, as Father Mitch is saying, these kind of AI oligarchies that are out there and and the problems with that, and at the same problem, in a lot of ways, you have the problems that people are all over the place and the technology is not that difficult and becoming more ubiquitous and easier to use, that you have people everywhere creating material. And they're really, as Colin and you had mentioned earlier, the curation process isn't really there. How do we deal with that?
Well, you just have to be very, very careful to look for you know, the problems. From my own investigation of ChatGPT, for example, or, you know, the typical AIs that are used to give you the quote-unquote AI answer when you do a Google search, for example, I think it's wrong about 20% of the time, either because of errors of omission, which are very common, or errors of commission. Now, the errors of omission are so frequent because of, as Father Mitch already implied, the trainers are the guys who build in the assumptions.
Father, let me ask you just specifically, what would be an example of that in your mind, either that you saw on chat, where something is obviously being omitted?
Oh, I mean, for example, if you say, well, what is the evidence for the Shroud of Turin, you know, being an authentic relic? You get an omission of, you know, well, it doesn't talk about the X-ray scattering test, which, of course, dates the shroud to between 54 to 75 AD. It leaves out all the evidence, you know, for fissioning process that would be required in order to have an image at the most superficial level with a three-dimensional capability. It leaves out, like, all this pertinent data and, of course, comes up with a conclusion, well, you know, we just don't know about that shroud. You know, and you look at that and you just want to throttle the person who actually is training the bot. And you know, when you train the AI, of course, you got to give it billions and billions and billions of words and sentences. No question about that. But there's also a training on how to do pattern recognition. And as Father Mitch already implied, you can do this in a very manipulative way, a very skewed way. You can skew pattern recognition towards secularism. You don't have to, you know, leave it neutral, right? You can skew it towards secular, you can skew it toward what I would call popular culture morality, which is very different from Christian or Catholic morality, right? You can skew it toward a very mechanistic view of the human person rather than having a spiritual view of the human person. And it's very subtle. You know, I mean, you're not going to put an algorithm that's going to be, you know, easily traceable. And you go, well, that's ridiculous. It's done by errors of omission. It's done by what it takes and what it does not take. And of course, the subtle answer comes out there. And you look at these things and you go, well, wait a minute. You know, we're forgetting this and we're forgetting that. And, you know, I feel like, you know, why do I feel like I'm being moved toward this secular kind of popular cultural viewpoint instead of towards something which is Christian? Of course, you can not only sense it, feel it, you can determine it. All you need to do is make about four searches in a row, and you can begin to see the inbuilt bias of the trainers of the AI. And like I said, it's very easy to skew these things in the training models. You're talking about billions and billions and billions of words and sentences that they're helping to do pattern recognition, right, through training. And of course, if you do that, you can actually manipulate the kinds of answers that are given. And of course, you can leave out a ton of data, and sometimes the data is just dead wrong. I'm not talking about a hallucination where the computer will make up something right out of the thin air. That only happens about 2-4% of the time. But boy, the 20% is where you finally get an answer, but the computer, as you know, Father Mitch would say, the AI has picked the wrong you know, data to focus on. And of course, it it has to make a decision on which data to focus on. So it'll always turn to its internal training to find that. And if the trainers are basically secular, or if the trainers are Republican or Democrat, if the trainers are spiritual or mechanist, et cetera, is going to definitely determine what the answer is going to be. And some of those answers are so unbelievably wrong. You know, like how many wounds are on the on the Shroud of Turin? It gives you, you know, well, there's 30. You know, I think that's a gross underestimation, but by any you know stretch of counting. Okay. So you look at those things, and again, the skewing is so evident, and so you really need to get an AI.
Well,
that,
it's interesting what Father is saying, Colin and Father Mitch, because of the fact that recently, I think Meta announced that they're moving the group of people who moderate their, you know, Facebook and those kind of things out of California to Texas because they're looking, quite honestly, for a more balanced, I didn't say it this way, but effectively that's what they're doing, probably also because of the taxes in California. But of the people who they intend to employ to do that and the
That's the DEI I'm in favor of, actually. They could do that. You know, I think the general problem is, frankly, most of the information out there is going to be secular and culturally oriented and therefore biased. And so the church in particular is running up against a great problem. Mathematically and quantitatively, we just don't have enough information out there. And I think the means of social communications continue to be, you know, this is a place we have to get our biggest foot in there, and EWTN has certainly tried to do that, get our biggest foot in there and throw our weight around, at least as the big religious gorilla on the block, and make sure that the information is available to the designers and others going searching for. Otherwise, we get a hopelessly secular, biased output from all of these from all of these kinds of AI mechanisms.
Well said. We'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much, Colin. Thank you again to Father Mitch Pacwa and, of course, Colin Donovan, as I mentioned, and Father Robert Spitzer for being with us today on this wonderful panel. And, of course, we thank you for joining us. And don't forget to join us next week right here on The Catholic Sphere, where we'll bring you yet another topic dealing with the theological concerns of the Catholic Church. We'll see you next time.